I took 3 mushroom microdose pills that somebody gave me here at this retreat in Maine.
Uh-huh.
They're less micro than I was expecting.
Okay, what's happening in your brain right now?
My tongue is numb a little bit, and everything is nice. I'm not used to it.
This will be a great recording. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey!
I am a professional.
Let's see what fucking happens. Welcome to the, I'm going to say NPR adjacent.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the important podcast, Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, where Daisy Egan and I recap and scientifically analyze the riveting TV show Love is Blind.
Ellen Marie Marsh is a lawyer. I am a scientist. And we're also both sociologists. We're really able to help you break down what's going on with these people for you to have a better life.
This is a safe space. It's not that we've made no mistakes. I just can't think of any of our mistakes off the top of my head. It's that I have been lucky in love. You have been tremendously lucky in love. And we can impart our wisdom and our advice onto our listeners so that they can feel less than.
Right.
And then we also give you a side of irrational judgment of these people who are honestly only trying to live their lives, but they decided to put their lives on TV, so that's on them.
Yes, they're fallible people, they're human beings, but they decided to put it in front of everybody's face. We also recognize that they're edited a certain way, but it doesn't fucking matter. It's out there, and our job is to judge it.
Thank you for letting us share our truth.
Yeah.
And I would love to talk to you all day long, but I simply can't because this episode is so dense in trauma and ridiculousness. We're going to be here till tomorrow. So I feel like we have to just dive in.
We're also renaming this podcast Shut the Fuck Up, Uche.
Absolutely. We need to call somebody. We need to call Amber Hunt and get copyright in here. I do have one question really quickly off the top of your head, because I do have one. After listening back to our episode, do you have any thoughts where you're like, oh, I forgot to say that? Because I just have one.
For episode 3?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Wait, now I can't remember what mine was. Okay, there it went.
Yeah. When it hits you, it will.
Love me for me or don't, and be like all of my exes.
One of our listeners renamed him Uche the Duce.
That is so perfect. Who is that? Who said that? I need to send them a gift basket. That's brilliant.
We'll look later.
All right. Well, let's jump in.
So when we left off, Uche had just dropped the fucking bomb on Aaliyah that he and Lydia had dated outside the pod.
Aaliyah is hysterical. She is so overcome with emotion. She's so blindsided. And we hear this.
Hello? Who's this?
My name is Uche.
Fuck!
That's not the reaction I was expecting.
Your name is Uche Okoroha. You're a lawyer, have a business.
Who am I speaking with?
Really, Uche, you don't know who I am.
Who are you?
You do not recognize my voice.
I do not recognize your voice.
Oh, shit. Okay, how about this? You know me outside the pods.
I know you outside the pods.
Yes.
What's your name?
I love Kobe.
Lydia?
Yes!
This is just so weird.
It is weird.
What did you think of her saying, do you think we should just start at 0 and look at this as a blessing in disguise? What did you think of that?
I think that Lydia is desperate. And I think she was like, holy shit, I can have my husband now. It doesn't matter.
Right.
What did you think?
I didn't know what to think. I think you're right. I feel like I'm defending Lydia a lot, and I probably shouldn't be. Yeah. I mean, it would have fucked up the whole experiment. If they knew each other outside, it wouldn't have been fair to anyone.
No, unless they were, like, honest about it and just said, like, hey, we need to leave the show. But that wasn't going to happen.
I actually think they did the right thing without mentioning it to anyone, but we'll get into more of that. So Aaliyah is sobbing. Oh, she is audibly sobbing. And honestly, this is the first time we get any emotion out of Uche the Duce.
Yeah, poor Aaliyah. Like, it's just one fucking hit after the other. Like, get out of there.
She tries to compose herself and she goes back to Uche and says that she doesn't know how to feel. I mean, this is so layered because remember, Aaliyah and Lydia are like bestie boozicles. So Aaliyah, rightfully so, wants to talk to Lydia. Yeah. And you know what was interesting is that Uche, for a second, a split second, is a stand-up guy because he actually stands up for yes. Lydia and is like, you know, she's actually a trustworthy person. My emotions, like the cyclone at Coney Island today, because that made me think that Lydia really did want Aaliyah just to have a fair shot at love. I mean, that is what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
They have a little love fest about Lydia, and Aaliyah's like, you know, Lydia was the first person to console me. And Uche is like, no, she's not a bad person. She was not being malicious. I was like, okay, that's cool.
Uche does not have a bad word to say about Lydia. Even when he talks about why they broke up, he's very magnanimous. He doesn't say the things that men like that tend to say, which is like that she was crazy. She was clingy.
Yes, totally.
He was very restrained and kind. He was like, I have love for her. She needed more than I could give her.
Rightfully so. Aaliyah's confused and hurt because she does love Lydia. And Uche is like, trust your gut. Like, she is genuine. Yeah. She will be a good friend to you because she has been supportive of them. It's not like Lydia's been trying to throw in these little digs and be like, oh, girl, he's not good enough for you. And Aaliyah is like, they have a sisterly connection.
Aaliyah says that Lydia's going to be like an auntie to her kids. Like, they are.
I get it. You know, when you have really intense time with someone, I do believe that. Like, when you just meet someone and you are with them intensely, I do believe that they can bond really fast. Sure. And then Aaliyah, well within her right, asks Uche, do you still have feelings for her? And this is the time when Uche says 100% 700 times. He's like, I 100% admire her. It's 100% done. 100% I understand. 100% where you're 100% coming from. I was like, is this a drinking game? Is this a joke?
But are you 100%?
Yeah, I don't know. If it's a drinking game, Daisy's over in the corner on shrooms. She's not playing. This is the first time we see Uche actually act like a human and not like a gargoyle. So I'm excited for that journey.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he actually grows.
Wait, he also says that she blocked him on Instagram, which that's one of two things. Either that's to protect your space or to make a statement. Because we've witnessed the blocking.
Yes.
The ripple effect of the blocking.
It's either to protect your space or to make a statement.
Totally. And then Uche says, like, I don't know why this was part of the conversation. He's like, by the way, Milton's not ready for marriage.
I'm like, friend, we're not there yet. We can get there later.
Right. I was like, agree. And he just says that him and Lydia were dating. It seemed like sex plus to me, the way he was making it sound, didn't it?
He was making it sound like it was casual. He says a few months. We dated for a few months. To me, it did not sound like a serious relationship. It sounded like they dated for a while and he realized that she needed more than he could give. And so he broke things off, which is not quite Lydia's perspective.
Right. So at the end of this conversation, he's like, I hope this doesn't change things. And Aaliyah assured him it doesn't. She's just like, I have to talk to Lydia. And then she says, oh God, I don't mean to get on my high horse. It is a very, very high horse. Then she says, we'll be fine because till death do us part.
Yeah. Girl, what?
Can we stop? Like, in life, why do we have to bring death into it?
But also, like, you're not even engaged. Like, what are you? And even if you were married, like, no.
I think it's very morbid. It's just a little over the top for me. And this doesn't mean that I don't genuinely hope that people's marriages last for a lifetime. As you and I look at each other, two divorced people, nobody enters a marriage considering the end.
Right.
But as far as I can tell, I feel like reasonable people consider divorce to be pretty understandable and potentially healthy. I'm just saying, can we just be like, you're mine until you make me really mad?
Right. You're mine until you fuck my friend.
Yeah, or you're mine until you don't help me with the chores anymore and it gets to be too much.
Right. You're mine until I have to wash your Skidmark underwear.
Then I'm gonna give you away and high five it out and say it's been fun.
That's right. I'm gonna rehome you. You can live with Chris as a foster dog for a couple weekends.
Oh, Chris. We're back in the men's quarters and Izzy's like, I'm going to propose.
He's so excited. He's like, yeah, I'm pumped. I'm pumped. And someone's like, are you nervous? And he's like, a little bit, but no.
Wow, bro.
And then, so he's in a suit and he's ready to go. And I have the subtitles on. Do you watch the show with subtitles?
Yes.
Okay, so he leaves the room and he's like, all right, I'm going. And then it says Justice. And he's like, let's go, bro. And we don't see his face, but do you remember who Justice is? Justice is cunnilingus expert.
Oh, what does he say? He's like, go eat it?
No, he's just like, let's go, bro. And I was like, oh, Justice, you're still here. Good on you. He's off, you know, eating some pussy in the corner. I don't know.
He's like, go eat that puss. We also learned... We also learned from one of our Patreon members that apparently proposal day is the last day of the pods. I had no idea. I guess it's just the way it's edited. It looks like people decided faster than other people, but I think it's just edited to look that way. And then it's not until the last day, and that's why people are dressed up. It's not because they're tipped off. It's like, this is the last day. These are your last dates. You could be getting engaged, so wear something nice.
Totally. I had no idea.
Me neither.
Thank you for that. We have such a smart audience. I love it.
And Stacy shows up in like a power satin white business suit.
Which I actually loved.
I did too. There would have been so much flop sweat if I was wearing. I mean, that would have been covered in my armpit sweat.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. It was very bridal. You know, very virginal. Uh-huh. And the producers are like, you're a virgin, right?
And she's like, yeah. She's like, I have a thing in my head that maybe sometime in the past I engaged in an activity. She cannot communicate.
No. So Izzy says all the things he's going to do and will do in their life.
Yeah.
You know, be patient, hear her, blah, blah,
please,
blah. We've heard it all before.
He has her back 120%. 120%.
Wait, what did you say about that? I wrote that down too.
Is that a calculation that you made? Did you do some math?
That's the thing, is that math doesn't math. There's no more than 100%.
No.
The dramatics of it, it's 100%. I mean, ask Uche.
Exactly. If there was 120%, mm-hmm, Uche would have been 120% in that last scene. And he was only 100.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of like shit that you read from a book of how to propose to somebody, but at least he lays it all out. And what does Stacy say in response?
A bunch of mishigas about how she's totally happy being single. I was like, cool,
right,
happy for you, but like, how does this correlate to how this man just
right
read 700 Hallmark cards, mashed it together in a monologue, and is telling you how he feels?
The very first thing she says after his monologue, the very first thing is, I feel the same way. Oh my God.
He's like, you go get your own Hallmark card, Stacy. I had to go to the CVS for 2 hours to write this shit.
Come on, I picked them all out one by one in order. And then she has a monologue about how, you know, she's always been single and this feels corny as fuck.
But she says yes.
Yeah, she is 100% sure.
Yeah, not 120.
Not 120. They have a 20% gap in shoredness.
We're already starting at a deficit.
Yeah, we're going to have to see if they can make that up in the next 4 weeks. So then we go back to the women's quarters, mm-hmm, and, you know, all the ladies run up to Stacy. They're so excited. And Johnny is having a nervous breakdown in the breakfast nook.
She is not dishing out any hugs. You're only given a certain amount of hugs. And she's like, honestly, she's hoarding them.
She's written down how many she has left. And she's like, I can't. I don't have a hug to spare.
I would love to. Not today, Stacy.
Not today, Stacy. And then she says at a normal volume, mm-hmm, like some way away from this group of happy ladies, she says, happy for you. Wish you all the best.
I was like, babe, I get that you're upset. Call your therapist.
Go back into your room.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good look.
Microdose some shrooms. Don't be a cunt.
Microdose some shrooms. Don't be a cunt. And also, it's like, what are you doing? Like, they can't even hear you. Why are you? I don't know. Maybe she had a therapist that told her, like, say the thing out loud that you wish that you felt.
That's horrible advice. Could you imagine? Does anybody object? You know what? I had a therapist once. I would like to object at this wedding, if I may.
But not actually.
No. Well, Johnny is in her confessional and she's crying for the first time.
First time.
They cut back to Johnny in the living quarters.
With some random lady.
Some rando lady. We have no idea who she is. I'm not even convinced these people aren't plants still. I think it's a whole simulation. First of all, I get that hurt hurts. And this is such an awkward situation. But then Johnny is masking her anger by like telling someone that like Izzy has bad credit.
Yeah, like Izzy told me he has a bad credit score and he just signed a lease somewhere else.
If you guys could see Daisy Egan, she's playing with her long non-existent hair right now. It's so funny.
Like just frantically. And you know, she's clearly like justifying all of her decisions in retrospect, but not in a way that she's like, I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing it in a way where she's like, this is all how I meant to do it.
Yeah.
She's doing some gymnastics up there in that brain of hers.
And she basically is like, it's never going to work out. I have a question. This is my biggest question, and I can't stop thinking about it whenever I watch this show.
Yeah.
What about sex?
Listen, again, people have long-lasting forever marriages that are arranged or where they don't have sex ahead of time. But that is not me.
No.
You need to drive that car before you know if you want to take it off the lot.
And by car, I mean oral. Because that shit isn't working. That is beyond a deal breaker.
Yeah. And also, like, here's the thing. If you have a teeny peeny, which...
It's okay. It happens.
And I will say that with how tight the pants that the men have been wearing this season are, it does seem like there might be some teeny peeny situations.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. But you better get good with your hands and your mouth.
Yeah.
And if you're not, I need to know that. I'm not going to till death do we part if you come out with a teeny peeny and doing the alphabet with your tongue.
Absolutely not. You know what will happen? The death part will be if you don't focus when you're down there and finish up. Doesn't matter how long it takes. We're here.
Mm-hmm. If it's taking too long, that's on you. That's not on me.
Yeah.
Because I can get this shit done in 15 seconds.
15 seconds? Do you know scientifically it takes a woman 4 times as long to orgasm as it does a man?
Well,
yeah.
I feel like I'm half man.
Yeah. I'm not saying any vows until you go down there for at least 20 to 30.
Absolutely.
Deal breaker.
So Johnny and Chris go in for a date. He's wearing a suit.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us that he really loves Johnny. And it's nerve-wracking because I'm very worried that Chris was about to propose to her.
I love Chris. I am in love with Chris at this point. Johnny launches into her spiel. I laugh with you. I'm safe with you. And I'm unsure who Johnny is trying to convince because I think it's herself.
Yes, it is 100% herself. And also the things that she says she wants from a marriage. Literally, I want to make eye contact across a room and smile.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want from your marriage?
I want to go back to the oral conversation.
Girl, I mean, raise the bar.
Just a tad. Just a little bit.
Oy.
Chris says he's always felt a connection with her and he's trying to sort out his emotions. And to that I say, if you need to snuggle in between these boobies, Chris, just come on over. I'll send you my address. And he says he does see a future with her. And Johnny's like, I really want to be with you.
It's again, she sounds like she's trying to sell a car that is herself. She is the car.
I think Johnny just wants to be with someone. And there is a part of me that does feel bad for Johnny. She's clearly...
Yes.
I don't like saying people have issues because we all have fucking issues.
Yeah.
But yeah. She has been very open and vulnerable that she has gotten into a bunch of relationships that weren't great and that she doesn't have a good picker. Same. And I think actually she's so cognizant of her past failures that she overthinks to the point where she's her own worst enemy.
100%.
Like she's just going in circles rather than just letting it happen. And I get it. But like, I really, really do.
I mean, it's great to watch. It's like,
oh, yeah,
please keep doing this. But it is so uncomfortable. You're like, stop talking. Stop talking.
Yeah.
It's really like, listen, this car, there's rust on the chassis, but like you can get around that. The doors don't lock. And also all the windows are manual and the key, you need a separate key for the engine.
The sunroof has never worked.
The sunroof doesn't work and it also leaks. So like don't take it out in the rain or go through a car wash. But I really feel like we can make this work. Because I know that you have been in a car before, and it's not a perfect car, But it, Jesus, just shut up.
Can you write an analogy book? Because I've never felt so connected to anything you've ever said. But Chris says he thought he found a wife in Johnny, and he says he's always given everything in a relationship, and he alludes to getting hurt. And then he says something really astute. He said, I need to be selfish and worry about myself. And I was like, we all need that reminder, Chris. Yeah.
And that's not being selfish, that's just being healthy.
As a toxic people pleaser, we're taught at a young age that one of the greatest risks of like our own integrity that prevent us from being a good person is being selfish. My parents used to say that all the time. You know, with my siblings, don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. Share. You're at the playground. Share. We're always taught to think of other people. I feel like when we grew up, we were so heightenedly aware of the risks of our selfishness. You won't have friends, people like you, that we kind of would swing the other way, especially saying no to somebody.
Oh, God. There was no no.
And I'm saying this as a reminder to myself. And Chris saying that, I was like, God, we should all be better at saying, I need to be selfish right now.
Yeah.
Are you good at that?
No. No. I mean, I'm getting better at it. And oddly enough, my partner helps me. He's like, go take care of you. You need to do this. But I haven't been that way in the past at all.
Yeah.
And I've just been like, what do you need? What can I give you? Yeah. Oh, you're paying attention to me? Great. Let's get married.
Totally. You know? Yeah. I was going to propose to you at the end of this podcast, but there you go, blowing it again. I just thought that that was a very strong moment for Chris.
Yes.
And you can tell, you can really tell he has a good heart. I do think he's probably been the good guy. And again, like I said a couple episodes back, women say they want that, but it's not always the case.
Good for him for not signing the lease on that hunk of junk. I mean, God bless her, but if we're going with the analogy, and he basically gives this monologue, says, I do want to be with you, and I don't want you to ever think otherwise, but goodbye.
Well, he says, I will maybe see you soon. Have a good day. And ultimately, I think he will choose Johnny at this point, but I'm glad he's taking a moment. I don't know. I feel like he's going to circle back to her. Do you think?
Oh, that's interesting. No, I saw that as him being like, we're done. Thank you.
Okay. Because he said, maybe see you soon. Maybe I read too much into that, or maybe I just have a big old fat crush on Chris.
I think you have a big old fat crush on Chris. And I think also, like, we've seen the show enough to know that, like, they're going to have a cocktail party. Oh, I invited Johnny. Oh, that's funny. I invited Chris.
Totally. Absolutely. Yes, we know this show. I just feel like the Johnny Stacy, the Johnny Izzy, that whole dynamic, that would be Netflix gold, and they wouldn't let that pass up. Like, I feel like the producers would be like, Chris, can we talk to you for a second? All right, let's just be crazy. Let's just propose to, you know what I mean? Let's just propose to Johnny. Let's be wild. She said that she's excited to suck on your dangling.
They told us in private
that
she said she wanted to teabag you all day and night.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like the producers would jump in there in some respect. I don't know.
That may be the case. I think maybe in the real world, it does sound like he's like, bye.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll see. And then we have Lydia and Aaliyah.
Grab a snack, everybody. This is a journey, emotional and spiritual. Please go on it with us.
This goes everywhere. So they're sitting on the couch in their banky together, and Aaliyah says, Uche told me. And Lydia says, he told you it was me, he told you. I will say this, if this show were happening in the 90s or the 2000s, this would have been a fist fight. This scene,
agree,
you know, this would have been a pulling out the earrings, like, fist fight. And we have evolved as a society to a point where they can sit with each other and be honest with each other to a degree.
So I take my notes sequentially. I take them as it happens. And if I had a red marker, there would be so many addendums to this, but go with me. They're sitting on the couch. They're literally hugging each other, talking. They're facing each other. They're like chakra to chakra, loving on each other, crying. And Aaliyah genuinely says, I love you. And I do think this is a really difficult situation. And I do agree with you. I think this shows how understanding and open-hearted women can be. And to your point, it could have gone in such a different direction. I wrote, I think this could actually bring them closer. I'm not being funny. I actually got choked up because I kind of loved this woman romance.
Yes.
And then Aaliyah explains how she feels. I wrote, I am legitimately getting choke up. I wrote that in my notes. So apparently I had to tell you about it. Because nothing in life is perfect, but this is how adults can act. Shit gets complicated. Mm-hmm. Shit gets weird. And it's how we react to it that's the most important.
Right. She's like, is this ideal? No, this is not ideal. I love you. I don't know if she says she loves Uche at this point, but they are vag to vag having this conversation. And then Lydia starts to overshare.
Walking through this as if you're watching this with us, Lydia tells us exactly what happened when this all went down in the pods. And to be fair, Lydia pretty much repeats it verbatim.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought she says in the pods, should we start from zero?
Okay. Not that part. But I mean the part where she was like, I said, Uche, you don't remember my voice? Yeah. It was like she had a script. And then she said that when they met, she was at a really low point in her life. And she also echoed what Uche said when she was like, I needed more. And he wasn't prepared to give that. And so she tells this whole story. And then Aaliyah says,
I'm so scared, Lydia.
Why? You're scared? Tell
me. I've been hurt. I genuinely want you to be my friend. And I don't know
I'm going to be your friend.
How are we going to do this?
I don't know.
For me, it's a trust thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I would want you to be my friend, and I want that, but I don't want to ever feel like I got to look over my shoulder.
Girl,
and
that's never.
And that's not something I would want to deal with.
It's up to you.
I know.
You want to cut me out of your life because you're like, this is too much?
Yeah.
It's up to you.
And I don't. I genuinely don't.
I'm only going to see Uche now as Aaliyah's husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
What is in the past in the past?
Here's my question to you. Before we jump into the second half of this conversation, do you think that Lydia is being 100% upfront with Aaliyah right now in terms of her feelings, what happened? Do you think she is being honest?
I mean, like I said last episode, she does have different versions of stories, so I'm not sure how authentic she is at this point. I thought she was genuine. I thought that she, with a tiny bit of like, I'm not sure that I trust her at this point, I was like, this sounds genuine.
I agree. So Lydia and Aaliyah for this moment, they're like, we love each other. We're going to make this work.
I wanted it to be genuine. With like a little caveat of like, I'm not sure that I trust her, but it seemed genuine.
Aaliyah and Lydia sort of end in a good place. We love each other. Yeah. This is going to be okay. And then Lydia kind of pushes it. Like, I acknowledge that she's probably nervous and she's got a little like word vomit. This is where Lydia kind of oversteps. And you can watch in real time Aaliyah's physicality and her body start to feel so uncomfortable. Because Lydia starts sharing the things she knows about Uche. Like, she's met his friends. He's a workaholic. His house is gorgeous. He drives a blue Tesla.
His dog's name is Kobe. And oh my God, that dog loves me so much. And I bought that dog a toy. And it was like his favorite toy ever. It starts to get icky.
I don't know if it's malicious. Or that she's just been keeping this secret for so long that she's like, oh my God, I can't wait. I can talk about it. And she's just kind of like, you know, when you just like talk too much and you're like, why am I talking that much?
That's the story of my fucking life.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, Daisy. But Aaliyah says, I don't want to know anything. She says it to Lydia. I don't want to know anything.
Because Aaliyah needs to find these things out for herself. That's part of being in a relationship.
And Lydia does not stop. She does not stop.
And then she drops this kind of icky, ill-timed, a little bit insensitive bomb.
Yeah. They had sex 3 months ago.
And that's where I think Aaliyah now starts to get annoyed. So then my brain is like, is she mistreating Aaliyah's emotions by sharing this unnecessary amount of information that Aaliyah most certainly didn't ask for? And this is where I start to question Lydia's intentions. Like, I definitely do not want to know about someone else's sex or his apartment or his car.
No.
It was a little bit I had him first.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And absolutely.
I don't know. It kind of made me feel icky. Even in the best of circumstances, I have, in weird situations, dated someone that someone dated years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be like, so did you guys do the reverse cowgirl? I don't want to know about your sex.
No. And this is where Lydia says that in the pods, she says that they decided to start at zero.
Right.
And then they changed their minds. And he did not say that.
Exactly. She said, should we start at zero? And Uche was like, no, that's not the point of the experiment. I was like, Lydia, oh, man, do not tell a lie.
You know we're going to watch this back, right?
Yeah, it was very odd. And again, the word that comes to mind is disappointing.
Yeah, especially because she was able to recount the beginning of their conversation word for word. It's like you didn't mishear him. Like, clearly you remember this conversation, so clearly you're lying.
Yeah. And then what did you think about this comment when Lydia kept making the comment about how this they're the same person?
Yes.
I mean, it's not like you were both like coincidentally like geologists from Puerto Rico, and I actually don't consider them very similar.
I don't either.
I really don't. I think Aaliyah's a little bit more reserved and laid back, and she's like, of course Uche wants you. We're the same person. I was like, Lydia, how about we go get that spread of bagels instead of talking more?
It's giving single white female in a creepy way. I see Aaliyah as like way more like earth mothery. I don't see them as the same at all.
Yeah. This is really hard. Aaliyah got a lot more information from Lydia than she wanted. And now she's got her dudes, you know? She's needs to talk to Uche. This is a fucking Six Flags roller coaster. I can't be taking a Lumi midday, people. I really can't. Ugh.
Yeah, she goes back in to see Uche, tells him she told me everything. And Uche says, you don't think this is hard for me?
Yeah, exactly. Remember like 5 minutes ago when I said Uche was being a normal human? He says this.
I mean, it's happening to me just as much or even more than it's happening to you.
No, it's not, because I'm over here sitting with your ex that you fucked 3 months ago.
And we're back. There he is.
Good job.
Yeah, Mr. How does this relate to me? Me, me, I.
Are you vocalizing?
Yeah.
I wanted to go through the screen and throttle him.
She's like, hey, I'm living with your ex that you had sex with 3 months ago. It's a little bit harder for me, babe.
Right. And she even says to Uche, like, I don't think you gave me the full picture.
Right.
He really made it sound like it was a long time ago. They dated for a few months. And there's Lydia saying we had sex 3 months ago. So Aaliyah's like, so then I find out that you fucked her in January.
I totally agree. That really does change the story. And she says, I'm scared. And she says, how can you be so sure I'm what you want? And Aaliyah, I'm sure you're listening to this podcast. I respect you. I adore you. You're an ICU nurse. You're beautiful. That is an unanswerable question. There are no guarantees. We all take calculated risks in our life. Kind of breaks my heart. I know I'm coming from a broken place and I'm a basket case.
It goes back to the whole, I want to be loved unconditionally.
Yeah.
This is not going to happen. You are going to get hurt. You will be hurt by the person that you love. I mean, hopefully you won't be fucked over, but they're going to hurt you.
100%. Yeah, 120%, actually.
120%.
And then he says the word that I hate more than till death do us part. Daisy, honestly, I need to up my meds the next time we record because he says, you're my person.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, that phrase, I would like that phrase to be punishable by law. That's grounds for incarceration.
Can we strike that from the record?
All the records.
Yeah. And then they're back. They seem to sort of just be back.
Well, yeah, because then he starts talking about her wedding ring. I was like, shut the fuck up, Uche. Don't start talking about her wedding ring. That's such a pivot.
It's so gross. It's one-upping the are you still my girlfriend?
Exactly. Yep.
From last episode. You know, she goes right along with it. And she says, like, you know, can you handle this? You're going to have a baddie on your arm. And I'm just like, Aaliyah.
Yeah. I do believe that Aaliyah is a very empathetic person.
Yes.
Just like Chris, honestly. But empathy without boundaries is self-destruction waiting to happen.
Yeah. That's codependency. Yeah. And that's not good. So now Lydia and Milton are in their pods, and it's time for Lydia to tell Milton about this. And now the story changes even more. She tells Milton that she and Uche dated from 2020 to this past February.
Right. I wrote down this timeline as confusing, but yes. So maybe the last time they had sex was in January and they kind of fizzled out till February.
Sure, but that's not how she presents it to Milton.
Correct.
Like the way it sounds like she presents it to Milton was like, we dated from 2020 to this past February. She said she cut things off with Uche, which, you know, maybe in her mind she did. Like maybe that is the truth in her mind, but that's not the story that we've been given up until this point.
Right. And she says she doesn't have any unresolved feelings for Uche. I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah.
And she says, I love Aaliyah and I want her to be happy. And I do believe that. I do believe she is a confused little lost puppy. I don't think that she has any malicious feelings towards Aaliyah. I don't think Lydia knows what the fuck she feels.
I don't think she knows what the fuck she feels. And she, it seems like she has some unresolved internalized misogyny that she's unaware of. She may want the best for Aaliyah, but I think there's deep down, there's still competition, whether or not she knows that that's happening.
Yeah. Were you competitive in your younger years? Like before you were like a more evolved human being?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I am guilty of having stolen, quote unquote, men from other women. Like not once they were fucking them, but like when I was young.
Right.
If somebody said like, oh, he's cute, I would make it my mission to fuck him. I'm not proud of it.
Yeah, I was very competitive in my 20s with everything, with my career, you know, being on Broadway. Yeah. I guess that's just something you grow out of. And Lydia's 30, but everyone's on a different timeline. Now, Milton sort of has his head in his hands, poor thing. Remember, he is an embryo and he's just trying to process.
And she does not give him a second.
No. And Lydia assures him that she loves him and that there's no thread and that she's moved on from Uche. And now Lydia is hysterical.
Yeah. And this is so gaslighting. She's like, Milton, tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel. And the second he starts talking, she's like, you don't have to worry, but she will not give him an inch to speak.
Yeah. So Lydia's hysterical. She goes back to the woman's quarters. She runs into Stacy. I'm glad she had someone there, but Stacy's like, stop crying. Stay strong.
I was pull it together.
Bitch, let the woman cry if she wants to cry. She
nope,
is
pull it
strong.
Together. Pull it together. Pull it together. You are strong. Pull it together. Like, girl, you can be strong and cry.
And crying doesn't mean you're not strong. Right. And I was like, give the woman a minute, but don't tell her to stop crying. The only point that Stacy does make is she's like, that was a lot for him to process. Give him a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they have the world's most awkward hug where Stacy's like trying not to lap dance Lydia, but it's just so awkward.
Oddly timed. It's an oddly timed lesbian moment.
It really is. And then Stacy says, you know, something beautiful, which I think was mentioned in our last episode. She said, the people that love you take what you tell them as a map of how to love you. They don't hold it against you, which is it's beautiful.
Who knew we were going to quote Stacy today in a loving way? But here we are.
Knew?
It's a wild time. What a time to be alive.
This is like being on the scrambler at the street fair. So then Lydia goes back to Milton and she's like, what's in your mind? And, you know, he's so young. He's doing that like, no, I'm good.
Right.
But then, of course, there is. And he says, there's a lot of things emotionally that I need to deal with, which is like, welcome. And then Lydia pulls an Uche. Lydia says, how do you think I feel?
Right. You know when you say something and you know it's not going to happen? He's like, I mean, I kind of wish you would have told me earlier, which is pointless because she didn't. And this is where we are. But he's also just sharing. And he says, it's messy. And I was like, listen, this is all so messy. I don't think there is a rule book for being on Love is Blind. I mean, if there is one, I would love to see it. But you're right. And then Lydia kind of like gaslights him. And then She assures him that she wants him. She's like, I want you so bad. I just wrote, this is weird.
Every time he tries to express himself in any way, she interrupts him.
Mm-hmm, you're right.
With how bad she wants to marry him. I want you so bad. I want to marry you so bad.
I have never wanted to do anything with anyone so bad.
No. I mean, sure, there's been times where I've wanted to, you know, fuck, but it's because I'm there with you and we're like getting ready to that point, but not between a wall.
Right. And it's probably because you were ovulating and it's that like human need to reproduce. You know, it's science, Daisy. This is a science podcast.
Yeah, no, I know that because I am a scientist. I am a scientist.
So then Lydia makes like an ill-timed joke, I'm sure just to lighten the mood. And she's like, if you have doubts, ask Uche. And we've all made bad jokes when we're uncomfortable. Milton is not amused. He was like me at the 2005 Guys and Dolls revival. Not amused.
That was good. And he says, like, that wasn't cool. That was not cool. She's like, I know, it's so bad. And then finally he's like, yeah, I mean, that's sort of a joke I would make. But it's like,
I get it. I make jokes, calm the mood, and it ends up backfiring 120% of the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here we are.
120%.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go back to Stacy and Izzy. Oh, yeah. Stacy and Izzy meet in the hallway of love.
Mm-hmm.
The tunnel of love. The tunnel of love.
And she says, I've never seen him and I can't imagine my life without him. I feel like I'm on opium. I've never tried it, but I imagine this is what it feels like. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I have been with my partner on and off for however many years now, 12, 14. Who knows who's counting? It would suck. But I can picture my life without him. I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
And it would take a while, but like I would get back up on the horse. God, please don't use this as a thing, you know,
right.
Take him away from me.
God's like, okay, hey, Daisy.
Okay, fine. I did this before with a guy named Job.
Izzy says that Stacy has given him more than anyone else in his life has ever given him. I was like, Izzy, who's in your life?
Yikes.
You need either new family or new friends that this woman behind a glazed out frosted plexiglass has given you more than anyone in your life. We need to circle back on this. What is happening?
Yeah.
You need therapy, maybe some ayahuasca. I don't know.
He needs to get back in touch. Also, like, if I'm his mother and I'm watching that, I'm going to be like, excuse me?
Right, exactly.
The tunnel of love doors open. They meet. It seems like they're both pretty happy. Am I right?
I think so. I think that, well, first of all, I love Stacy's shoes. Actually, legit love her shoes.
Did not notice them.
I would not wear satin. It's very unforgiving.
I'm telling you, the sweating would be, I would have a butt crack sweat mark that would end the marriage before it began.
I think that he's really, really into her.
Yes.
They hug. It takes them a while to kiss, which I appreciate because kissing is weird sometimes, you know, checking the immune system and all.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to talk about something if you don't mind me taking a minute.
I mean, I guess.
Izzy's butt.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not a big butt person. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm more in tune to it because of Joey.
Because
Joey loves butts. Obviously, he's a gay man. That's like their whole personality.
Yeah.
But wow, Izzy, oh my stars. He has a really, really great butt.
Maybe that's why he's always wearing tight capris, is to show
capris.
That butt off.
You're so right. They're totally capris.
Always.
That was the whole conversation. Just he's got a great butt.
He keeps telling her that she is gorgeous. You are stunning. You are gorgeous. You are a bombshell. And she says nothing about him.
I couldn't tell if she was attracted to him. What did you think?
I could not either. Again, she can't talk about her emotions. She says, my heart is racing. Everything is somatic for her. Nothing is emotional. My heart is racing.
That's a really, really keen observation.
Thanks. I don't know if you know this, but I went to 3 colleges. I wrote, what is there to say? Like, that ring is a lot, but it's probably exactly what she wants. And then their descriptions of marriage, like what they can picture with each other of their future is the most, it's like a commercial for a medicine. They're like, I want to hold hands with you and laugh and drink rum.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what my marriage was like. So I don't know what you went through. But he proposes. Mm-hmm. He proposes. They always make them propose and then just sit on this bench to talk. Mm-hmm. It is so awkward. But guess what? You all signed up for Love is Blind and we signed up to make fun of you. So that's on you.
And then he goes and he rubs her leg and she says, oh God, don't rub my leg. I didn't shave. I'm like, girl, I know that my friend Ellen Marie Marsh shaves when she has a booty call. And you're meeting the man you said you're going to marry. You haven't shaved your leg. It takes me months, but I'm not her. You know, like you'd think that that would have been a priority. So then they have a whole kiki about, you know, body hair and he's going to braid her hair and it's hilarious.
Say what you want about me. I am a victim of the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. I get it. I know it. I grew up Italian. I have lasered every bit of my hair off my body. And if it grows back, I will shave that shit. So I'm a basic bitch and you're a hairy little beast.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not judging. I'm just saying I know that this woman is of that ilk. And so it's odd to me. It is odd to me that she chose that day not to shave.
Agree. Strong agree.
And then we go to Milton and Lydia.
She's in a dress, Daisy. She's in a dress.
And he is in his high water pantsuit.
He's very tall. He's very tall. He's going to die young.
He's very tall. He needs to go to the big and tall.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he has been thinking about us and you and I, which is a lot of people to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm. He says that it will be a lot of sacrifice being with him because he won't be able to stay at his friend's house playing Wii until 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not saying that playing video games makes you young. I am very young at heart. I really am. Uh-huh. Like I'm a silly goose, Daisy.
You are.
And so it's not that. It's just, it's so interesting that he was like, there'll be a lot to sacrifice. And part of it is how I like to game.
And also the ask, like, can I go play with my friends and can I stay out until the lights are out?
I feel like it is a slow car wreck. It's a car wreck where the person swerves and then they swerve. And when they're driving away, they get in an accident. Like it's very odd.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I game. I love video games.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also 43. So maybe I'm better at like gauging the time that I spend on it. But marriages have ended over video game playing. And also I want to be like, well, if that's your only sacrifice, okay. Like video gaming.
Right.
But he says our life together will be never boring, always laughing. And I just thought, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. He's 24, Daisy. He's got the energy of a 24-year-old. And on that, he asks about the age difference, if it will affect them. And Lydia is like, I have never been so sure about anything in my life. I continue, my fascination with Lydia only grows, especially watching these last two episodes, because you're right. It is so obvious that she is just desperate to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so obvious. And I always think about, whenever I watch these shows, I always think about people watching themselves back.
Uh-huh.
Because I can watch myself back on an Instagram story from a year ago and crawl under my house and pretend that I moved over a 15-second Instagram story. I could not imagine that embarrassment that you must feel hearing the things coming out of your mouth that are so vulnerable and silly on a platform like Netflix, only to have two assholes recap it on a podcast. It's just a lot.
It is so much. We live in interesting times. She is the most hyperbolic person that has ever lived in the history of time.
I know one other really, really hyperbolic person, but we'll talk about that on the next tier.
I literally have no idea what you could possibly be talking about. But I just was sitting there thinking about a marriage that literally they're all always laughing. Just like they're in the kitchen like just never stops.
Poor Milton says he's nervous because marriage is for life. Again, no, it's not. It's not. Marriage, it's serious. It's a commitment.
Sure.
But if it doesn't work out, it's okay.
Yeah.
I want everyone to know that it's okay.
Yeah. She says, you are everything I have desired and more. But she has never once in these four episodes, has she ever once said anything about him that she likes.
Yeah.
Have you counted a thing?
No, not like your wit, your nothing. Charm, your Pokemon mastery, nothing.
Nothing. She has not said a thing about what she likes about him. And then he says, for some reason, I've been overthinking about this.
No, this is a good thing to overthink. Honestly, overthinking can be dangerous, but I'm going to say overthink it.
Yeah, this is the time to overthink. This is a good time to overthink, my friend. Oh, boy.
And he proposes.
Mm-hmm.
He asks Lydia to marry him, and she says yes. This is going to be it, Daisy. This is not good. It's not good. Something's going to happen. I don't know if there's going to be maybe a slight injury. I don't know what's going to happen, but not good things are going to happen.
She says yes, and then she runs out of that room so fast. It's like the shape of her body in the wall. A dust cloud behind her.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, but I'm predicting it's not going to be good. So now we see Uche slow motion walking down the hall. And there is something we haven't said about Uche in these four episodes.
Yeah.
And it does have to be said. Okay. Uche is hot.
Oh, yeah.
Like his body. I was like, I could have those thighs wrapped around
sure.
me. I just don't want you to be my life partner, but you absolutely can lay on top of me.
I mean, I did say it in the first episode. I said he's attractive.
You did,
he's
yeah.
good looking.
When he was walking down that hall in the slow motion, I was like, you were wearing those pants, sir.
Those pants are wearing you, my friend.
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. I will take it. So Uche is hot.
Yeah.
He's an idiot. Mm-hmm. He's a narcissist. He's emotionally mm-hmm. stunted. Basically, I'd still fuck him, you know?
Oh, yeah. And he's going to go in and propose to Aaliyah.
Mm-hmm. Because Aaliyah is his dream girl.
He says to the camera, I am going to propose to her, which nobody else has done. Like, when they're going in for that proposal, I mean, I guess Izzy. But, like, usually it's not that cut and dry. Like, usually it's like, I love her, they're the best, blah, blah, blah. But they don't say, I am going to propose to her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I also would like to say, because he says she's his dream girl, mm-hmm. I love that girl. I would like men to stop calling women girls.
Can I make
that request?
Thank you. Could you imagine in reverse if these women were like, I hope that boy proposes to me. I am so attracted to that boy. I want to have sex with that boy.
Yeah, I'll say something funny to like a friend and I'll be like, I like a boy.
Yeah, yeah.
But mm-hmm. when I'm actually referring to someone, mm-hmm. I just think it's patronizing, number one, because you're saying you're a man and she's mm-hmm. a girl. But mm-hmm. also it's creepy because like my daughter is a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. Am I being a snowflake right now? I don't know if I'm being too snowflakey.
No. That is the patriarchy.
Okay. I was like, am I being
no.
like, you know, Daisy? I just, when I hear the word girl, I assume you're referring to a child. And when yeah. I realize that you're actually talking about an adult woman, mm-hmm. then I'm like, oh, wait, okay, this is weird. Anyway,
right.
He walks into the pods and he's like, hey, baby.
Yeah. And we haven't seen Aaliyah's walk to the pod. And he walks in and he says, yeah, hey, baby.
And Aaliyah's not there. So we hear this manufactured heartbeat and my subtitle says suspenseful music playing.
He looks over onto the little ottoman and sitting there is this leather-bound notebook that he had given to Aaliyah. Dun, dun, dun.
And then we hear this.
Uche, fortunately Aaliyah's decided to not continue with the experiment.
Holy
yikes.
Curveball. I... M shooketh. This show gets messier by the season. I am alone in my living room watching yeah. this and
yelling.
Freaking out. What do you think? Tell me everything.
I think that she absolutely made that decision because he is good at manipulating and she realized it. And I think she knew that if she went into that room, even knowing that she didn't want to get married to him or she was going to break up with him, I think she knew that he was going to manipulate her back in and she couldn't take that risk. That's what I think happened. I think she was like, I cannot risk it. I have to go.
Right. That's so great. You know, because I had two feelings. Number one, I was like, obviously good for fucking her for setting
yeah.
a boundary.
Yeah.
And then I kind of like, I was walking last night and I was like, but like, does she owe him an explanation? Was that a little bit mean? But then I could totally see the producers being like, Aaliyah, come here. One second. I'm really sorry about your broken heart. How about you just fuck off and don't say anything? And we let producer John break up with Uche for you, because we've never had that in 5 seasons. And we think that will be great for ratings.
That's interesting. I was having the opposite. I thought that the producers were probably like begging her to stay. And she was like, no, I gotta bounce.
That's such a good observation that you thought. She was like, if I go in there, he's gonna convince me, so I need to go now. You're so right. That's so true.
The girlfriend that I had that Uche reminds me of, I did something like that. I left when she wasn't there because I knew that when she got back, I wouldn't be able to go. I mean, we'd also broken up like 5 times before then and gotten back together. But yeah, I left because I knew that she would talk her way back in person. So I was like, bye.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And also, you don't have to push your gay agenda on me. Okay. This is a podcast about Love is Blind, not politics.
I don't mean to shove it down your throat. You're right. I'm sorry.
It's just, thank you for saying that and seeing me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, of course, nobody sets out in life to be a bad person. No. I don't think Uche's like, let me be the villain of this season. No. You know, and I think everybody needs to be met where they're at. And he's just not evolved, right? And in that moment, if that were me, and let's say I was at my shittiest, which has never happened because I roam through this earth practically perfect. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know me, I am an asshole and I am reverse psychologizing this. I realize that there might be some listeners of Catalyst being like, get a load of this bitch. But if I was at my worst, and you know, we've all had situations where we don't put our best foot forward and we're like, ugh, I could have handled that better. And then someone didn't break up with me properly. That would be a wake up fucking call.
Yeah.
I hope it's a wake up call for him. Listen, he's got a great job. He's handsome. There were moments of humanity that we were able to see. Maybe he'll watch this back and be like, I can change my ways, because it's not too late. It's really not.
Well, we won't know until the reunion, because the teaser for the next 4, they meet at a restaurant or whatever, and he says, you owe me an explanation. And I want to be like, bitch, no, you do not. No, you do not. Get up, flip that table, and walk out.
So a better way to say that would be, I would love an explanation, not you owe me an explanation. She actually doesn't owe you shit. She's never even seen your eyeballs. But a nice thing to say was, hey, I recognize your hurt. Can you share with me what your explanation is? Like, it's not the what, it's the how.
Yeah. Well, Uche is walking around with trauma that he has not addressed, that he has not looked at, that he doesn't even know it's there, but he is clearly walking around with open, dripping, pustule fucking wounds that he needs to take care of, because he is covering it all with aggression.
It's so sad. And I do feel like the loser in this whole situation, not to, you know, peg it that way, is Aaliyah, because also we don't know how much of Aaliyah's issues are directly related to Lydia and all of those comments, all that snowballing. I don't know. My heart goes out to Aaliyah. I think she's a beautiful woman. You can see her heart, and I just wanted to reach through the screen and give her a big hug and hold her and yell at Uche, like, you know in the Sex and the City movie where Charlotte is, like, holding Carrie, and she's like, no! And it was, like, the first time we ever see Charlotte get mad. That's how I would be with Aaliyah. I'd be like, stay back!
I have a confession.
You're
going to
tell me that you've never seen Sex and the City, and then we're going to have to cancel the podcast. So if it's that, then just bite your tongue.
Oh, well, in that case.
Oh, my God. What if we did a podcast where we recap Sex and the City, and I am the, like, know-it-all, and you're the novice?
Yeah, except that I would never get hired in Hollywood again, because I'm sure that I would be like, this is the worst trash I've ever seen in my life.
It's actually not. It actually isn't. There are things that don't track, and there are things that don't age well, but there's a lot of things that really do. Number one, being an old person, realizing that Samantha was the real hero of the show. And that doesn't mean anything to you, but to some listener, they're totally going to hear me and see me.
Yeah, no, I know that she's the fuckboy of the show.
Okay, we don't need to go here with our relationship right now, Daisy. I feel like there's going to be words said that we'll regret. I would rather keep on doing this podcast with you, because I really love it.
All right, well, we do have our couples therapy session scheduled, so... I'll put it in the calendar.
I didn't even watch the trailer, Daisy, and Friday, four new episodes drop. And like I said, this is so much fun to make with you, but the hardest part is not binging all four episodes. But here we are.
It is hard.
What are your thoughts leaving this chunk of episodes? Because we're about to essentially leave the pods.
Yeah, we're going to go to Mexico or fucking wherever the fuck they're going, Nevada. Could you imagine if you sign up for one of these shows and they're like, and the vacation is in
Sheboygan?
What? I did watch the teaser, but who knows, because that's all, you know, the teasers are edited really, really, really well. I think it's going to be a mess. I think that these are largely unstable people who have made not great choices.
Honestly, the messier it is, the better this podcast. So thank you.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Netflix.
But that is all for Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Say something, Daisy. I talk too much.
Say something. I'm giving up on you. Yeah, that's it for the first chonk. We have another chonk coming on Friday. And next week, I won't be in Maine, which I have to say is gorgeous and I love it and it's beautiful, but I will be back with like my life.
Okay, great. I can't wait.
Next week.
Until then, thank you for subscribing to this amazing, I have to brag on Daisy and Amber for a minute. They are two of my friends and I admire them so much, and it's so fun that we're all so different, but I am just so proud of you guys for creating this platform and creating, and it's all just three badass women, you with Amanda, and creating this platform and creating a source of income and great content and doing this all on your own. It's fucking scary and it's important. And I just want to thank you all for supporting my friends in this endeavor. And I'm just really glad to be a tiny, tiny part of Grab Bag Collab with you.
We're so grateful to have you. You know how, oh God, Guy Fieri, you know, when like Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, when he goes to those restaurants, there's something called the Guy Fieri bump, where like after he visits those restaurants, they get really popular for a minute. We have the Ellen Marie Marsh bump.
That's hilarious. And I'm going to have them edit that out because I feel weird being surrounded by compliments. But please follow me on social media. That is where I do all kinds of insufferable things and tell you about the stupid stuff that's going on in my life. But it's fun. And that is Ellen Marsh. Mm-hmm. And I do spell my name with a Y, E-L-L-Y-N-M-A-R-S-H. You can also subscribe and listen to my other two podcasts that I love just as much with my beautiful partner, Rabia Chaudhry. We have a true crime talk show called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. And with my best Broadway friend, who's a dear friend of Daisy and Amber too, Joey Taranto, we have I Think Not. And you can find us at I Think Not Pod. And we're just so lucky. We're so lucky to do this shit, aren't we, Daisy?
We are incredibly lucky. I'm so glad that my life has led up to this point, and I'm excited for where it's going
to
go.
I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I assume it goes like Monty being born, probably winning the Tony because it's so prestigious, and then making this podcast. I don't want to be presumptive.
No, I mean, I would reorder that a little bit. You know, I think it's like this. Actually, I will say that the biggest achievement of my career was having a bruise on my ass from Adam Driver spanking it on Girls. I had a bare paw of a print. I have to find that picture. I don't know where it is, but somebody took a picture of my butt. And the next day we went in to shoot a sex scene, and I said, I have to show you something with Adam Driver, is what I'm saying. And I showed him my butt and he was mortified. He felt horrible. And I was like, no, this is my crowning achievement. Right. In my career. So it goes that, and then the podcast, and then Monty, and then the Tony.
Great. I'm honestly happy just to be in the top five. So
yeah, you can find me on socials at Daisy Egan. That's E-A-G-A-N. You know, I'm on TikTok, but not really.
I have told you I would like you to be on TikTok more. I have said that to you.
I know. This is the thing. Amber said that she works hard, but you make her feel like a slouch with how hard you work. Ellen, you work harder than anybody I've ever met in my entire life.
It's
and
drama.
So I'll hire you to do my TikToks, and you will do them, which is crazy.
Yeah, and I will do them. Because again, back to the toxic people pleasing.
I have two other podcasts. One is on Grab Bag Collab. It's called Dear Daisy. It is a podcast about secrets. Please send me your letters. I love doing it so much. And my other podcast is Strange and Unexplained. That's on the Obsessed Network. That drops on Thursdays. And I have a Patreon for that where you get bonus content. I love it. It's paranormal. It's true crime. It's just me being salty. A snowflake.
Mm-hmm.
Social justice warrior. And a cunt.
I love it. Well, thank you again for joining us on Shut Up, Nick Lachey. Till our next episode. See you later, Daisy.
Bye.
Bye.